Punch Audio, through the Audiobook Creation Exchange, presents
The Earl's Wet Nurse by Jacqueline de Groot. Narrated by Whitney Webster. Students in an advanced biology class were taking their midterm exam. The last question was, "Name 7 advantages of mother's milk." The question was worth 70 points if you could list 7 benefits, but only if you could come up with 7. One student was hard put to think of 7 advantages. However, he wrote, "Number 1, it is the perfect formula for the child. Number 2, it provides immunity against several diseases. Number 3, it is always the right temperature. Number 4, it is inexpensive. Number 5, it bonds the child to mother and vice versa. Number 6, it is always available as needed." And then the student was stuck. Finally, in desperation, just before the bell rang, he wrote, "Number 7, it comes in 2 attractive containers and it's high enough off the ground where the cat can't get it." He was awarded an A. I received this email a few days before starting this story. I'd been debating whether to write it. This email cinched it. In the vicinity of Southport, England, 1928. Chapter 1. In the village of Merseyside, situated high on a cliff on the Lancashire coast, it was a busy November evening for twin sisters Marguerite and Madeline Merrydale, both midwives by trade and both too far on in years to endure this much excitement in one day. Marguerite sat with the full-bodied wife of the Earl of Borough Sefton, who was about to give birth to a much-wanted heir. Inside the stately hillside manor, in the special birthing room that boasted an immense fireplace, flanked by its own inglenook on either side, her ladyship was laboring in the ornate canopied bed which every Sefton countess fortunate enough to conceive had used for generations. It was piled high with all manner of Belgian and Irish linens, fancy pillows with eyelets, faggoting, scalloped edges, and French lace caressed her cheek as her head thrashed from side to side, the long ribbons and ruched lace absorbing her perspiration. Meanwhile, at the bottom of the hill, at the end of a rutted road close enough to Southport to hear the gulls screeching across the frigid waters of the quay, tiny Catherine Cottingham was struggling to deliver her first child. The croft was so drafty that, try as she might, Madeline could not keep the fire burning in the crumbling hole in the corner that served as a fireplace in the one-room hovel.
"She's done out of her mind with the pain, and into her 20th hour, too," Madeline muttered to herself as she swiped at the soot which streaked her arms from continually stoking the fire. "And here I am, freezing me fingers to the bone and chafing them with flint, while my darling sister is doing the high and mighty with her ladyship in a room so warm that she's probably dripping sweat onto the fine lace linens. Not fair, I tell you," she said to no one in particular, as her patient was barely conscious. She bent to check Catherine's progress and saw the circle surrounding the baby's dark cap of hair begin to widen. "Well, it's about bloody time," she bristled, stretching her back and forced herself upright at the exact moment Catherine screamed from the pain, shouted for a man named Thomas, and passed out. "Better for you that way, dearie. You'll not remember the brunt of it. And here we're in for it. Your bairn is going to greet the moon of this night after all." There was a rustling outside the door. It was pushed open to the sound of wind whistling through the chink. "Patsy, get that door pulled to now." I am, a small voice said. A young girl pressed her bony shoulder against the door, battling the gusts, trying to blow it back open. When she finally got it closed, Patsy, whose small frame was lost in the ancient shawl borrowed from her Aunt Marguerite, leaned back against the door to catch her breath. Then she rushed over to where her aunt stood in a matching shawl. Madeline's hands were gripping her ample hips, waiting for her news from the hill.
"Aunt Marguerite says she needs you now. Lady Annalise is clutching her heart and gasping. She cannot get her to push. The baby's head is stuck and the cord is wrapped around its neck. She can feel it. Says there's no warmth in the baby's head. It's cold like a stone."